I want to talk to you from the topic, who is your BAE? Is there any youth over here that understand the term BAE? Now, BAE, as I came to understand or came to know, means who is your before anyone else in your life. I don't know, these youth, I don't understand them. I love them, but I don't understand them. They came about with this slang thing called BAE or babe. So who's your babe? Who's your BAE? Who's your before anyone else in this life? Good question. Good question. Who is the person that is your significant partner, other half, boyfriend, husband, or wife in this life? The youth use it as their significant other half, as I understand. Am I correct? Your BAE, your babe. Your babe. You're before anyone else in this life. Do you realize that you are God's babe? That you are God's before anyone else? You have to know that on Valentine's Day, you are God's babe. You are God's BAE. You are God's before anyone else. And God wants you to know this, and God wants to make some of you His BAE for life. You see, the challenge we have with God is the following. God said He is a jealous God. He said it Himself. So we have a problem when we are God's babe. And every one of you is God's babe. You just need to believe that. You just need to know that you are God's before anyone else. And He proved that 2,000 years ago when He placed His Son on a cross for you so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can have eternal life. He placed His Son before anything else so that you can have eternal life. Show that He is serious about you. That He would die for you. And God wants you to know this. But we have a problem with God. We have a challenge with Him. God is a jealous God. He said it Himself. So when you are His, He's jealous. You thought your husband or your wife is jealous? You ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to God. In Deuteronomy 4:24, the Bible says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God." Well, He's not just jealous, but He's also a consuming fire. Exodus chapter 34:14, the Bible in the Amplified says, "For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous, impassionate God." Woo! We have a challenge with God. When you are His, He wants you to know that He's a jealous God, that He's a consuming fire. And not just, do you know that God's name is jealous? Bible says it. He's a jealous God, impassionate. The word impassionate means the following: filled with intense feeling or passion. Passionate, ardent. So when it comes to God, it is not an unhealthy jealousy. It is a jealousy of being filled with passion towards you. So when God looks at you, He's jealous about you. He's filled with intense feelings and passions towards you. He is totally passionate about you. Friends, God is dead serious about His relationship with you and will not share it with anybody else. He will not share it with a wife. He will not share it with a husband. He will not share it with kids. He will not share it with family. He will not share it with anything else. For you are His before anything else. He is dead serious about you. He is passionate about you. He's filled with feelings of passion when He thinks about you. You are foremost His. And He's alone. And the only place He will share you with is in the marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. He's so passionate about you that the only place he's prepared to share you with is in a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. Not your wifey relationship or your BAE relationship. A real, proper, godly marriage. Young people, I want you to know, and I'm talking to people under 85. There is no such thing as a relationship between a man and a woman outside of marriage. I know you didn't come for this, to hear this on Valentine's Day. But I have to tell you, there is no such thing in the kingdom of God as a relationship between a man and a woman outside of marriage. I know the world and its system and worldly people will teach you otherwise, but let me teach you what the Word of God says. What God expects and what happens in heaven and what the kingdom of God requires. When Jesus came to this world, He came in the flesh to reveal to us how the kingdom of heaven is working. He came to preach to us the kingdom of God, how things are done in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 33 in the Amplified Bible, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, the way of doing things and being right, and then all things taken together will be given you besides. You have to understand, church, God instructed all believers and all the calls themselves believers to seek first the kingdom of God, His way of doing things and His righteousness. To seek His godly way of going about doing things. Friends, the number one thing, the first aim or strive of your life should be to seek after His kingdom. Not after a husband, not after a wife, not after a BAE, not after a babe, not after a wifey, not after a girlfriend, not after a boyfriend, not after anything. Number one in your life should be the kingdom of God. You have to seek after His righteousness, His way of doing things and going about doing things and being right with God. The Bible says anyway, in Proverbs chapter 18, 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The Bible says he who finds a wife, not he who seeks a wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Stop seeking for wives. Stop seeking for husbands. Stop seeking for boyfriends. Stop seeking for girlfriends. And seek what the Lord commanded you to seek. And that is His kingdom, His righteousness, and everything else He wants you to seek. Seek Him. Stop seeking for a boyfriend. Stop seeking for a girlfriend. Stop seeking for any relationship outside of Him. God has not commanded you to seek those stuff. He says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Anybody else finding anything else except the wife, you have a problem. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5 and 9, it says the following. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation at the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuous in doing good seek for glory, honor in immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. God says what you should seek is His kingdom, His righteousness. Seek Him. Then the Bible says over here, seek the glory of God, seek the honor of God, and seek immortality. There's a lot of stuff that you need to seek outside of a babe, outside of a girlfriend, outside of a husband, outside of a wife. That is not the stuff God wants you to seek. Do not let God find you be self-seeking. Let him not find you being disobedient to the truth. And let him not find you being obedient to unrighteousness. He warns it clearly in the Bible that there's a day of wrath coming where all will give account of their deeds. Unfortunately, some of you get saved and you get caught up trying to find and seek stuff that you are not supposed to seek. You are not supposed to seek a wife. You are not supposed to seek a husband. You are not supposed to seek a girlfriend. You are not supposed to seek a boyfriend. You are not supposed to seek any of these. The things that you need to seek is his kingdom, his righteousness, him, his glory, immortality, and his honor. That is what the Bible says you should seek. There's a huge difference between seeking something and finding something. Seek means to go in search or quest of. To try to find or to discover by searching or questioning. To try to obtain. To try to attempt. To seek, convince a person to go to. That's what some of you are doing in your relationships. You're trying to convince someone to like you. You try to question your friends. Is he really into me? Does she really like me? Is it questioning all the time? Search, go to. Oh, you know, God said I'm going to marry you. Go to. Let me help you on this day called Valentine's Day. You're seeking the wrong stuff. You seek like the world is seeking. And God is saying, no, you seek my kingdom. You seek me. You seek righteousness, how to do and go about doing things. You seek my honor. You seek immortality. You seek my glory. That's what you seek. That is going to keep you busy seeking. So you go to my glory. You ask for my glory. You try to convince me to give you more honor. That's when you seek. To find something means to come upon by chance, to discover or perceive after consideration, to ascertain by study or calculation, to become aware of, to discover. So he who discovers a wife, he who calculated carefully through time, discovers, finds a wife. He who come upon it by chance. He who walks serving the Father and suddenly, oh, I don't know who's that little thing. I was not planning to see that. I was not looking. I was not questioning. My eyes is upon my Father. I seek him. I seek his kingdom. I seek his glory. I seek immortality. I seek his honor. That's the stuff that I seek. That's the stuff that I ask for. Not like some of you that are walking like headless chickens in church, looking for a wifey, looking for a BAE, looking for a boyfriend, a husband. You are exactly as the world. There's no difference. God has not commanded you to seek that rubbish. God has commanded you to seek him, his kingdom, his glory, his righteousness, his honor. He who finds, he who discovers a wife, he who fall upon it by chance, not fall upon it, who came upon it by chance. He who discover or perceive after consideration. You've been praying for months. You were seeking wise counsel. You don't hide it in the dark. You don't visit behind closed doors. You don't Facebook. You don't FaceTime. You don't WhatsApp. You don't send a text. You don't go to. You see, your God is a jealous God. He said it himself. You have a huge problem. If you say Jesus is your God, he is your Lord, you have a huge problem. He's a consuming fire. His name is jealous. You and you alone are his. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 10, 27, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Your first and foremost love should be towards loving the Lord. Not loving a wife. Not loving a husband. Your first and foremost love should be to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That is, everything about you should love God first. And your neighbor as yourself. If you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, why is your mind and strength and soul so occupied with people? Why are you on FaceTime more than you are in the Word? Why on Facebook? Why are you looking for that Valentine's card more than you're looking for Christ? Why is your mind so full of people and not full of Christ? Why are these areas so occupied by seeking a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend? Rather focus on loving God and loving people. Your neighbor as you love yourself. Your second and foremost area of love should be towards your neighbor, your brothers and sisters in church. And let me help many of you here today and those who will listen to this tape, that the person that sits next to you, that sidekick, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, is not your neighbor. If they are born again, they are your sister and your brother in the Lord. There is no such thing in God's kingdom or his church as a man, young or old, a woman, young or old, having a relationship outside of marriage. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 2 in the Amplified Bible, it says, treat younger men like your brothers. Treat older men like your mothers. And younger women like your sisters in all purity. The Holy Spirit is saying here to every one of you through the Apostle Paul, treat younger men like brothers. Treat older women like mothers. And treat younger women as sisters in all purity. Now listen to me. You ain't gonna flirt with your mother, bro, in it? That ain't purity. And you ain't gonna flirt with your brothers, with your sister, brothers, in it? That ain't purity at all. And you ain't gonna smooch your sister, are you? That ain't purity, man. And you ain't gonna smooch your mother. Boy, even the thought of that. No. No, no, and a thousand times no. That ain't purity. Even the thought feels like unpure. So where do we come about? The world is teaching you that it's okay to have a relationship outside of marriage. It ain't okay in God's church and in God's kingdom. Let me help many of you here today. Let me take it a step deeper for some of you. Deeper. You ain't gonna sleep with your father or your brother, young lady, in it? That ain't purity. And you ain't gonna have sex with your mother or your sister, young man. I don't think so. That ain't purity, bro. So let's just get this thing right. I know what the world is teaching you. I know what some churches might teach you. I know what worldly people will teach you. But the Bible says, your first and foremost love is to love God and to love your brothers and sisters next to you. So you don't smooch your sister. You don't sleep with your sister. In it? That ain't purity. So you have to make up your mind which God you want to serve. Which God you want to serve. But in God's kingdom, in heaven, it ain't working like some of you are practicing. God says this through his word in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 in the Amplified Bible, shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, and deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality or sins against his own body. So Bible says, God says, through his word, flee from sexual immorality and all sexual looseness in thought, word, and deed. Run from it. Not play with it. Not flirt with it. Run from it. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 22 it says, flee also youthful lusts. You didn't know that stands in your Bible. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So God instructs you when you are a youth, anyone 85, to flee from youthful lusts, but to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with God from a pure heart. In 1 Corinthians 6, 18, it says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man commits does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from sexual looseness in your mind, in your thoughts, and in your deeds. In 1 Corinthians 7, 2, it says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have his own husband. I like it. The only cure and medicine for sexual immorality is a husband for a wife and a wife for a husband. Anything else is outside of God. It will not cure the human. It will just destroy. I don't care what people say to you. I don't care what they believe. I'm telling you today what God's word is saying. The only cure for sexual immorality is a husband for a wife and a wife for a husband. So if you struggle with sexual immorality, your only medicine is a marriage between a husband, you, and the opposite sex. I'm not against anything what you do. I don't get against anything what other people practice or might think. I'm here to tell you what God's word is saying. Above all, God says, love every person. So, I love you, but I don't love your sin. And I want to tell you that that destroys you and it keeps you in sexual immorality before the eyes of God. No matter how much you want to argue it away, no matter how much you try to justify yourself, no matter how much you think that God is going to forgive you every time you sleep around, it is sexual immorality. The Bible says, your God says, flee from it because he will not share you with anything else except in a godly marriage. God says the only medicine or cure for sexual immorality is a husband for his wife, and a wife for a husband in marriage. I know you didn't come for this on Valentine's Day. In 1 Corinthians 5, 9, in the New Testament, it says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortors, the idolaters. Since then you need to get out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexual, immoral, covetous, or an idolater, a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. God is saying, I can't take you out of the world. The world is full of drunkards, full of rivalries, full of idolaters, full of sexual immoral people. God says, I can't take you. I'm not saying don't mingle with them. Then I have to take you out of the world. But God says, with a brother that says he loves Christ or a sister, and they keep on sleeping around, having sexual relationships outside of marriage. He says, do not even be seen with such a person or eat with such a person. The bottom line is, flee from sexual immoral brothers and sisters in church. Don't keep any company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral. Now, That book is not Tabu Mare's letter to the church. That is Jesus Christ speaking through the prophet to you. It's God's word, not mine. So don't twist my words. Don't twist what I'm trying to say to you. I love all people. If you are sexually immoral, I love you. I know that that stuff is going to get you in hell. You keep on playing with that rubbish, you're going to die for eternity. I'm here to tell you that God loves you, that He wants to bring you to true love, that He wants to change you, and you were not born like that. Let me help you. You were not born like that. That's why the Bible says you have to be born again. So when you are born again, you are born in the likeness of Christ. You are pure, and Christ now wants you to live pure. You call yourself a Christian, but you keep on sleeping around, having relationships outside of marriage. You're not married, but you have a sexual relationship. That is sexual immorality before the Lord. You can argue it away. You can try to justify yourself. But let me show you what God says about this. God warns about the judgment day that is coming and waiting for all sexual immoral people, saved or unsaved. The book of Jude is a warning to the church. Jude starts off by writing. He says, I would like to write to you about this common salvation we have received. But I have found there's a huge problem that I need to address. That there have men came into your churches that now uses the grace of God to keep you to live in character lives of lust and lewdness. Said, I need to address this. I need to tell you what is going to happen with these people. Then he starts off by different warnings. In one warning, he said the following. The wicked are sentenced to suffer, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent towns suffered, which likewise gave themselves over to impurity and indulged in unnatural vice and sensual perversity, are laid out in plain sight as an exhibit of perpetual punishment to warn everlasting fire. So he writes to the church. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to you and me. He said, let me tell you. I give you warnings. You can go read it yourself. He gives different warnings. One of the warnings, he says, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They lived outside of God's way. They were sexually immoral. They did everything that is common today. And God rained fire and brimstones upon those cities. So much that those cities can't even be discovered today, out of existence. They just know they were there, and they just know that God's judgment came upon it. It is a historical fact, not just in the Bible. God says, let me warn every one of you that call yourself Christians, that the judgment day is awaiting all manner of people, saved or unsaved, that choose to live in such a way. So you will get days like this, which will encourage you to live sexually immoral in your thoughts, words, and deeds, where God's word is training you. And I'm not legalistic. I'm just sharing you what God's word is saying. Because some of you are in La La Land thinking that you can have a relationship with Jesus, but flirt with the world. It ain't going to work like that. You keep on being sexually immoral, you are going to go to hell. Eternal hell fire. Saved or unsaved. Ephesians chapter 5:5, it says the following. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The Apostle Paul says this, one thing I know, that none of these, a fornicator, an unclean person, covetous man, or idolater, will inherit the kingdom of God. You can justify it away. You can hop to another church. You can pop a new DVD in your email, in your DVD. You can switch the channel. You keep on sleeping around. You keep on being sexually immoral. You choose that life, saved or unsaved. You have to understand that whole Sodom and Gomorrah is now has been done as an exhibition of what is to come to people choosing that type of lifestyle. So I'm asking you here this morning, who is your babe? Who is your BAE? Who is you before anyone else in this world? Is it Jesus? If it's not, I'd like to encourage you here today to accept Him, His love gift for you, eternal life, and a relationship with the Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. Make Him your BAE. Make Him your babe today on Valentine's Day. And I tell you, He will have your back for eternity. He will have you for eternity. He will have you for eternity. Whatever you go through, God will have you back, your back. He will lift you up. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But I have to tell many of you that are in the church today, that having sexual relationships outside of marriage, you have to be reminded of the judgment of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. You keep on flirting with that life, you will end up where God predestined sexual immoral people. That type of stuff will keep you in the world. You will serve a God that you have in your mind and not the God of the Scriptures. I want to encourage you, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior here today, accept Him. He loves you. Accept His gift on Valentine's Day. Eternal life, forgiveness of sin, a new life, a pure life, a new beginning. God can change you. God doesn't want you to struggle through all that. If you have problems with sexuality, then come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Him. Because He can change you. He can help you. And that's what the world does not want you to know. They don't want you to know this. They want you to believe that God can't help. There's nothing. The Bible says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. But church, don't get fooled that having Jesus in your life, He is going to share you with anything else and anybody else. He ain't going to do it. He's not going to share you with nobody. You are His and He's alone. When you are His, the only place He will stand you off into is in a marriage between you and the opposite sex. And that is where God is found in the marriage. A marriage is not one. A marriage is three. Jesus, you, and your wife, or Jesus, you, and your husband. I know this is not comfortable. I know that many people will not preach it. I know that many people will not say it. I say this with all love to you, that God loves you, that God died for you, and that God wants to give you eternal life. But let me tell you, flirting with the world will get you in hell. Will get you in hell. Saved or unsaved, you will go to hell. In James chapter 4, verse 4 to 6 in the Message Bible, it says here, you're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world, every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. Do you suppose God doesn't care? The prophet has it that He is a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. The day you gave your life to Jesus, you said, I do. I do. I stay pure for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, nor through the ups and for the downs. But you have to understand that you have a devil out there that is your adversary. The Bible says He only comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So He's going to portray stuff in front of you. If your eyes are not trained, it's going to be drawn to it. If your thoughts are not trained, it's going to be captivated by it. If your mind is not controlled by Him or submitted to His word, it's going to rule your mind. What rules your mind and your thoughts rules your life. It will create words coming out of you that will shape your future. God doesn't want that. God said, you are mine. I made you in my image, in my likeness. I paid the price for you. I prayed with my blood on the cross for you so that you can have eternal life. Not for you to go and sleep around and thinking the grace of God will keep you in that character, will save you from that. The grace of God is to empower you to live as God wants you to live. It's not a smokescreen to hide God's eyes from what you are doing. Don't try to justify. God is very serious about sexual immorality. That type of sin destroys you more than anything else. You sleep around, it destroys your soul. So you come to church, but your soul is broken down. Your mind, your emotions, and your will is shattered. Your soul is connected, has soul connections with other people. You are one with them, but married to another. You are one with Jesus. And He will only share you in a godly marriage between a husband and a wife. That's the only place He will share you. When He has placed His hand of authority upon your life. Yes, I ordained this. I release her or him into this. The only place. I don't care what this world is telling you. I don't care what the government is trying to teach you. Let me tell you what the Word of God is saying. And God says this because He loves. He doesn't say this to steal your joy. There ain't any joy in that rubbish. Let me tell you, there ain't any joy in that rubbish. It just destroys your life. It keeps you in sin. You flirt with it. You go where sin is predestined to go. Eternal hell fire. As a Christian, you choose to live in that lifestyle. And you will go onto the internet and try to justify your lifestyle. I suggest many of you that call yourself Christians that are in relationships and you are not married, cure yourself of that sexual immorality. Get married. And let God ordain that marriage. And if you are young and you are unmarried, stop looking around. Stop wondering, is that one for me? When you see another girl come into church, you got to step in your, woo. Maybe she's the one. Maybe. All the others, I'm not sure about now, but this one, you know, I'm sure about him. Ooh, well, he looking at me like, ooh. Just watch. The only thing that your eyes should be upon is Jesus. What you should seek is Him, His righteousness, His way of doing things. Unfortunately, today, if we need to do what that scripture is saying, not eating with brothers that is sexually immoral, we will eat with a few people. That's the big problem. And I made up my mind that I'm going to tell you what God wants you to know. I don't care what people say. I don't care what you think. You keep on sleeping around or having sexual relationships outside of marriage. Let me tell you, with all the love from heaven, you are going to hell. Period. Full stop. Saved or unsaved. You have to repent of that. Get back to God. Get into grace. Get into forgiveness. Get into loving God first. When you love Jesus and understand His love for you and what He did for you, you don't want to do anything that is impure. Amen. I'm not saying you might step into something or be tripped. But I've never seen somebody be tripped into a bed. You flirt with the devil, he leads you into sexual sin. Because that's what all you need is love. And you think it is love. It ain't love, it's lust. That what you think is lust. Outside of marriage, it's lust. It's sexual sin before the eyes of God. Say a very good amen.
Amen.
Say, I love you, Pastor.
I love you, Pastor.
So don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. Days like this, Valentine's Day, is the breeding pot of this lust. The breeding pot of it. And many of you are like, seeking everything except Him. Everything except Him. He never commanded you to seek a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It's ungodly. It's from the pits of hell. He said, serve me. Seek my kingdom. Seek my way of doing things. Seek being right with me. Seek my honor, my glory, and immortality. Seek that. And as you serve me, I will bring him or her along. And you will just stumble upon the right one. You will just know it. And then when you know it, you don't have to ask for it. You don't have to ask friends. Does he love me? Do you think he's into me? You ask God. Because you married to him. You said, I do to him. And don't get uptight here because you are full of lust. Because I know some people are here and they're not for the church. They have haughty eyes. You see it. Let me just tell you what the scripture says. A brother that is constantly in sexual sin, or a sister, don't keep company. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. The Holy Spirit said it. Now, why will he say such a thing? Why? The same God that says, I love people unconditionally, tells you not to keep company with that. Because he's the same God said, evil company corrupts good character. And lewdness is a characteristic of lust. You lust for the woman, you lust for money, you lust for eyes of the, you lust for stuff. It's a characteristic. And Jude writes, he says, I'm writing to you because some men have crept into your churches and telling you that the grace of God, they pervert the grace of God to keep you in lewdness, to keep you in a character of lust. Go read the scriptures. So God wants to help you and me. He says, in all purity, in thought, in word, and in deed. And you can do that only when Christ has touched your life and when He is number one in your life and when you focus on Him. Listen, let me tell you once again. You cannot get over it if you're not born again. You have to be born again. That's why Jesus said, do not marvel at this. I say to you that you have to be born again. When you are born from my spirit, then I empower you to live as I want you to live. It is not automatically going to happen. But if you keep your eyes upon me, if you live with me, stay close to me, make me your soul love, your soul desire. Let me occupy your mind, your soul. Have intimacy in me, then you don't want to have intimacy in anything else. I can remember the day when God said to me, I need to pray for my wife. When I got saved, let me just help some people over here. I got saved from all this kind of rubbish that some of you are in. I thought it was cool to sleep around with as many women as I can. And then Jesus saved me. And you know what he did when he saved me? He said to me, you find every one of them and you repent. Every one that you can find. What a humbling experience it was to phone and say, please forgive me for what I've done to you. And after that, I realized that he wants me to stay pure. That he gave me his spirit and his grace to enable me to stay pure in a world that is unpure. To stay pure in a journey where every obstacle in my way is to keep me unpure in thought, words, and deeds. I can remember when I start off this journey, how I walked into a corner shop, and every time I walk into the corner shop, whatever my eyes found immediately was on the left side of the corner shop. Now you can imagine, just go to the corner shop to find what I'm talking about. So I knew that this is not a perfect world, but I gave myself to him. I said to him, I don't want to have a relationship with nobody unless you say that's the one. I said, I'm not going to go for coffee because I don't trust myself. I said, I will not go for coffee until you said that's the one. And one day, somebody in my zone asked me, a lady, to go for coffee. And I said, no. And she kept on asking. She said, I need to talk to you. And I said, no. And then later I gave in. I said, let's go. And we went to a public place. And immediately when we sat down, the first thing she said to me, why don't you fancy me? So I said to her, excuse me, this conversation and meeting is over. And I stood up and I walked away. And God taught me a lesson. He said to me, you made me a promise. Don't be deceived, because Satan, she was a born-again Christian. She said, Satan will bring them over your path to break your commitment to me. And I repented. And the only woman I took for coffee afterwards is my wife. So don't come with me to me with this worldly garbage. If you marry to him, you marry to him. You don't prostitute yourself to anybody else. And think because of the grace of God and the love of God, you're going to be okay. You ain't going to be okay, I promise you. Let me help you. Many pastors and preachers in this world will not help you in this. I will. Because so many of them are afraid that the churches will run dry. Let me tell you. You don't repent of that. And then repentance means a change of mind, purpose, and action. Not I'm sorry, and you keep on doing it. God has not saved you to one day send you to hell. Because I understand one thing about God, he's a righteous God. If he said sexual immorality, sin, rivalry, idolatry, adultery will all go to hell. When you stand before him one day and you choose to live that way, he's not going to say, I'm bending my word for you. Because he said, my word is exalted above my name. So we have a responsibility as the Church of Jesus to treat the ladies around us as sisters and mothers, the men around us as fathers and brothers. And it ain't purity smooching any of them. So I know that you didn't come for this on Valentine's Day, or maybe there in Colombia, or wherever you are listening to me, you don't want to hear this. The true love that you are looking for is found in Jesus. The eternal love that you are looking for is only found in Jesus. When you come to Him, you will experience true love. When you are in Him, you're going to go on a journey to keep yourself in true love. And His grace, His Spirit, His church, His real church, His Word, and men and women of God will surround you and hoard around you to keep you on this journey. And if you are here today and you've stumbled into that, if you are sorrowful, God will forgive you right now. And He will restore you right now. Maybe you're here today and you say, my life is not right with God. You talk about these things, Tabu or Pastor, I am in it. I want to tell you, if you're in it, Jesus came to save you from that. There's a better way and a better life. There's a godly way and a godly life. And if you're a Christian here today and you say, I am in it, I want to warn you that the only way out of it is by true repentance of it and to walk with Jesus, to keep your eyes upon Him and make Him your sole focus. And if you do that, He promises everything else. Now, last time I checked everything is everything. Besides, will be given to you. You serve Him. You don't have to worry about a BAE or a babe. Don't worry about nothing. You just serve Him with all your heart. Love Him. He comes through His Spirit and He beautifies your life. 13 years. Thank you, Sherry, my ex-PA. 13 years ago, I was saved. We are married this year. 12 years. One morning in a prayer meeting, this man said to me with eyes this big, God just spoke to me. We have to pray for our wives. I said to him, I ain't praying for a wife, bro. I don't need a wife. I'm serving God. We started to pray. Look at this little thing I got. When God gave it to me, look at those Brady Bunch. Look at this beautiful church. Look at this beautiful people. And you want to say, that's what that scripture says. Put that scripture again. I want to show you the last bit. The last scripture. What He gives in love is far better than anything else. What He gives in love is far better than anything else. You stay pure to Him. Stay pure to Him. What He gives you in love is far better than anything else. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your word. May Your kingdom come and Your will be done. We love You, we honor You, and we thank You that You're always ready to help us, to correct us, to lead us, and to steer us into Your ways. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that You will speak to every heart and mind of every person. Give them the faith and the courage to just love You, to walk with You. Let them keep their eyes upon You, the author and the finisher of their faith. And Father, we thank You that You will never leave us nor forsake us, and You will never leave us as You found us. Thank You that You will finish the work that You started in our lives. Help us to hang on for dear life to Your word, to Your ways, because You are faithful. You might be here today for the very first time. You might be coming for a while, but you just realize your life is not right with God. As I preached, you just felt that you don't have the, and know that you don't have the assurance of eternal life. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And I want to tell you, please, can I pray for you today? Because above everything that you need to know is that God loves you. And on this day, Valentine's Day, God wants to tell you that His love is available for you. It is found in the person Jesus. You need to know that 2,000 years ago, He came to die for you so that you today can have eternal life by choosing to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And before we go today, let me pray with you. Let me pray with you and let me know that when you leave here, your life is in His hands. That you are forgiven, set apart for His glory. If it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Talbot, that is me, wherever you are, I want to ask you, while all eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, just to quietly just wave to me one time and say to me, Talbot, here I am. Please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I want to make right with Him. You might be on the balcony. You might be in the back. You might be sitting in the front. You're contemplating, should you, shouldn't you? Let me tell you, yes, you should. The Bible says God puts before us life and death, and He says, choose life. And when you choose Jesus, you choose life. If you haven't put up your hand yet, you know you should. Just slip it up high. Say, here I am. Pray with me, Pastor. And I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to leave here today, and your life will be right with God. One thing you cannot do is you cannot force anybody to accept Jesus. It's a choice they have to make on their own. So even though we are zealous to see people receive salvation and receive Jesus, if a person doesn't want to come, then leave them. You can just ask them and leave them, but you can't bring them to the front. So if God hasn't stirred your heart, knowing that you need to make right with Him, then it's okay to just sit. Are you with me? Don't feel pressured. Nobody can pressure you to love anybody. This is a love thing. It's a relationship. And I want every one of you to understand this. Because zeal will keep you to be stupid. You cannot force love. And what Jesus calls you into is love. He wants you to know that He loves you. Because that is what sustains your relationship with Him. So all you can do is to encourage somebody to come through their free will. And if they hesitate to come, you can encourage them and say to them, don't worry about the people. You just come. God is going to touch you. Things are going to be okay. Amen. But let us just make this thing clear. We are a soul-winning church. We believe in this miracle that's about to happen. We believe. And I want you to know, young man, that God really loves you. And if you feel in your heart, God has spoken to me now, I know I need to make right with Him, then we're going to pray together and things will change. Never feel threatened. Never feel pushed to do anything. Know that God loves you. Now He's calling you into a loving relationship, which only you and Him can walk in. Amen. I want you to put your hand on your heart, close your eyes, and then pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. I ask you for forgiveness. I receive it right now. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me so that today I can have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Use me in your kingdom in Jesus' name and fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.